to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, December 5th, 2021, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
Our scriptures today paint a very vivid picture of the gap that exists between the world as it is and the kingdom of God. We all feel and experience that gap when we cope with darkness and challenges, tragedies and violence. We know that the world we live in is not the dream that God has for us. We, of course, were reminded of that powerfully and tragically this week with the shooting in Oxford, which brought all that violence so close to home. Such a feeling of connectedness to the families who lost their children, those who are wounded, and to all those traumatized, the school community, the families, and the wider community. I think we've all felt that. Praying hard for that community and knowing that we are all part of that community. Our scriptures tell us that that gap between this present darkness and the yearning of God for something better is real. The prophet Baruch is not in everyone's Bible, by the way. If that's a book you didn't know about, it's in the Apocrypha. So if your Bible has an Apocrypha, you've got Baruch. But Baruch was living in exile when the people of Israel were suffering, separated from their homeland, separated from the temple, cut off from all of the things that gave their life meaning. And Baruch paints this wonderful picture of the glory that God is promising them. He talks about it in terms that would have been familiar in the ancient world, of a royal highway. You know, in the ancient world, when a king wanted to go from one city to another, the king sent out the workers to make sure that road was flat and smooth and straight, a big infrastructure project in the ancient world. And so valleys were filled in and hills were brought low, kind of like walking the red carpet. You know, when it gets to the award season, you always think, wouldn't it be fun to walk the red carpet, have that just path laid out for you with all the paparazzi? Well, that was the royal highway. And Baruch says that's what it's going to be like for you when God brings you back home, restores you to your life in Israel, restores you to your homes, to your faith, to your God, brings back this wonderful sense of reunion. That's the longing that the people had. And then in our epistle today, Paul is writing to, you know, Paul planted many churches, but Philippi might have been his favorite. I'm glad we kind of feel a kinship, don't we, here at St. Philip's with the Philippians. He wrote to them from prison. Paul was not sure what was going to happen. He was in prison. He had gone through shipwrecks and beatings and all kinds of problems as he tried to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now he writes to them from the darkness of jail. And he remembers their faith and their strength and their love, and he says, that's what's giving me hope during this time of darkness. And I look forward to the day when we can all experience the fullness of God's reign in the day of Christ. Work, he says, for that. Look towards that. Have hope in that. And then there's our gospel with the great prophet of Advent, John the Baptist, whose father, Zechariah, had prophesied about him as the one who would bring people to God through the repentance of sins. John the Baptist, who recognizes the corruption and problems of his present day and points people toward the coming of God's Messiah. John the Baptist, who had such a clear picture of God's reign, such a hope, such a passion for bringing people into that relationship with God. But we still have to deal with the world as it is, don't we? We still have to live in hope and faith despite these events, which cast at least me into a sense of despair sometimes, I gotta say. Just seems like we never get past this violence, never get past these senseless tragedies, one after another. So how do we have hope? Where do we look for strength during these times? We can have faith and hope, but if you're like me, it's nice to see it once in a while, isn't it? Nice to have glimpses of the kingdom right here and now, because Jesus said the kingdom is coming, but it's also right here among you. And we need glimpses of that kingdom, of that reign right here and now. We need to know that there is good even in the midst of so much evil. I had two events this week which kind of gave me those glimpses, and I want to share them with you. One was a phone call I had with our brother in Christ, Carl Jones. We miss having him in the choir. Carl's been going through chemotherapy treatments for kidney cancer, and it's been tough. He told me he was down below 100 pounds. Now, he's not a big guy, but 100 pounds is pretty severe. And he began to worry, you know, what's going to happen? But being Carl, always offering hope. You know, I called to encourage Carl, but as always happens, it was Carl who encouraged me. Carl told me the story. He had been in the supermarket to buy some roses for Jen to thank her for being such a wonderful caregiver. And he was nervous about being in the grocery store. Many of us with COVID again on the rise. You may not know, but this is the worst moment for hospitalizations in Michigan since the beginning of the pandemic. We are not through this. It is very tough right now. So Carl was nervous about being in the checkout line, and a guy behind him got really close in the line, and Carl was feeling very agitated. He thought, do I confront this guy? You know how it goes. Sometimes these confrontations turn into incidents of rage. What do I do? I'm kind of afraid. But he had courage. He turned around and said, I'm so sorry, but I'm going through cancer treatments, and I'm really concerned about social distancing. Would it be okay if you gave me a little bit of extra space? Pause. How's it going to go? And the man, who was a big guy, said, oh, I'm so sorry. Thank you so much for mentioning that. Of course, I'll make room for you, and please know that you're in my prayers. And then the person behind him said, oh, it's so wonderful to have that kind of spirit here, and I just appreciate the two of you being able to have this conversation. And then the checkout person said something, and then the person in front of Carl said, oh, you just have some flowers and something else. Why don't you go ahead of me? And Carl said, in the midst of this tension and worry about social distancing, suddenly a little community broke out around the checkout line where these strangers were suddenly friends, expressing compassion, caring, consideration. For me, that's a glimpse of the kingdom of God. That's a glimpse in the most ordinary of places. Often Virginia will remind us that God speaks often in the grocery store, right, Virginia? God is everywhere. The kingdom of God is among us. The other incident was an article I read. You know, whenever there's a shooting, you can almost write the script, right? You know what one side is going to say about the shooting, and you know what the other side is going to say about the shooting. It's like theater. We just have the usual knee-jerk responses, and nothing changes. And that's what was getting me really down. I'm like, how many of these do we have to endure before something changes, where these incidents of random violence are reduced? Well, the article I read was talking about an effort. I don't know if you remember this, but back in the 90s, the Centers for Disease Control was beginning a project to study gun violence as a health crisis, basically. What can we learn about it? Where are the places that we could intervene to change? Like, they had studied automobile fatalities, and they had studied cancer, and they're now studying coronavirus. What are the interventions that we could take that might make a difference? Well, at the time, it was opposed by the NRA, who saw it as a political move to take away guns. And so a congressman from Arkansas, Jay Dickey, who called himself at the time the NRA's man in Washington, he introduced an amendment which passed, which forbade the CDC from funding any study of gun violence. And so for almost 25 years, there was no government funding for studying gun violence because it was, you know, so politicized, everything is. Well, here's the kingdom of God moment for me. So the man who had been leading that study, Dr. Mark Rosenberg, who lost his job and his funding because of the amendment, he got to know Jay Dickey, right? They were on either side here. They were opponents, enemies. And they spent some time together, and something amazing happened. They became friends, these two enemies, one who was studying gun violence and one who was blocking it. And they became such good friends that when Jay Dickey died a few years ago, it was Mark Rosenberg who gave the eulogy at his funeral. Imagine that. In such a polarized world, imagine that. Jay Dickey's widow, who was also involved in Arkansas politics, she worked with Mark Rosenberg and introduced new legislation which restored funding for studying gun violence as a health matter. I don't know about you, but I find that a hopeful sign of the kingdom. Whenever enemies become friends, the kingdom of God is present. Whenever strangers form a community of compassion, the kingdom of God is present. We have, in the midst of such darkness, we have glimpses of the beauty, love, compassion of God all around us, if we can see them, if we can open our eyes, our minds, and our hearts to experience the presence of God right now. We have so many challenges right now. We have coronavirus, we have, you know, political polarization, we have violence, we have all of this stuff. And we look forward with faith and hope to the coming reign of God. We have the absolute confidence that even now God is rolling out the red carpet for you and me, making straight the highway to bring us with joy into the fullness of God's reign. And in the meantime, all we have to do is not lose hope, to act with compassion, to look for, to notice, and to engage in ways that bring glimpses of God's reign right here and right now. I see that here at St. Philip's. I see that in our community as we come together and surround the people of Oxford with love and compassion and prayers. And I pray that we can hold fast, endure, and not lose hope as we await the coming reign of God, the reign of peace, the reign of justice, and above all else, the reign of love.